to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everyone, to the Political Cesspool radio program. It's great to be home. This is the first time in 3 weeks I've been able to broadcast from our home studios here, live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in good old Memphis, Tennessee. Of course, 2 weeks ago, a great show that was, back on November 1st, we were in Atlanta, taking our show on the road, as it were. Some great guests joined us that night, John Gardner, Dr. Richard Lynn, Peter Gemma, and Bob Griswold, that show available in the archives. Last week's show wasn't, and that was a good problem to have because, as I understand it, RBN has been experiencing such a high volume of traffic and so many listener downloads over the last week, several of the programs' archives just happened to crash, and we were among those who suffered the litany of downloads, and we're happy that so many people are coming to listen to RBN and coming to listen to the Political Cesspool. Welcome again, everyone, to the program. I'm your host, James Edwards. We're going to have a lot of fun for you tonight, but I have to tell you, I truly mean this. After 4 years of broadcasting, over 4 years now, I think that the two shows we've done this month, on November 1st and 8th, respectively, have been the two best shows ever. And maybe it was just a matter of circumstance. We certainly had some great guests, and naturally, we're always on top of our game here, but last week's show, if you missed it live, as I said, it wasn't able to be archived due to the intense crush of traffic and downloads that the RBN server couldn't handle everybody. But you missed Peter Gemma. He was on back-to-back weeks. He was on November 1st to give us an election primer. He was on last week to give us a wrap-up and a reaction to the devastating election results we all witnessed back on Election Day. We also heard from, Ron Garcia-Quintana, who was talking to us about how conservatives are going to be able to compete in forthcoming elections, because they sure didn't do a good job of it earlier in the month. But the big story last week, I was broadcasting live from the Euro Conference, which was held right here in Memphis, Tennessee, and never before, my friends, never before in the years that I've been involved as an activist in this movement, have I witnessed a more bizarre, more triumphant, more incredible story than that which I was part of last week. We talked about it with David Duke on the air last week here on this program. It's been well documented. If you want to go to our website, just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and you can read the story. We're probably not going to have time to get it all in tonight because we have a very busy schedule this evening with guests such as Dr. Steven Snigowski, Dr. Paul Gottfried, and Mark Crivelli, among others. We're going to cover a lot of news stories too, but I'm telling you, if you missed the story last week, if you didn't catch the show live, and obviously you wouldn't have been able to catch it in the archives, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and read the story. Read how hard it was to have our freedom of speech, the basic civil rights, to have our basic civil rights granted to us as participants in that conference. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and read that story. And you can catch yourself up on what you missed last week. You got to start tuning in live, ladies and gentlemen. Don't wait for the archives. Tune in live. And we're going to get it started right after this. The Political Cesspool continues with James Edwards in just a moment on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Go to drinkjujube.com. That's drinkjujube.com. and find out what two dangers you really do face today and how drinking the juice of the jujube fruit protects you against both. The jujube fruit has been used in Chinese medicine for almost 4,000 years. At drinkjujube.com, find out why thousands of people, including football star John Elway, featured there in a CBS TV interview, are drinking every day the energizing juice of the powerful, concentrated, free radical-fighting nutritional drink of jujube, plus seven other highly acclaimed fruits and berries, 12 essential vitamins, and 68 minerals, all in highly absorbable, bio-ready, convenient one-ounce servings. In today's fast-paced, stressful, toxin-filled environments, you need the extra edge to stay that cut above. DrinkJujube.com.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
So today, I'll be standing right by his side. Welcome back to the program, everyone. It is, in fact, November 15th. We are live, red hot and rolling here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. I was so busy in the first segment trying to get through all the announcements that we've had in a very busy month that I failed to mention that we have received more traffic on our website in the few days that it's been since the election of President-elect Barack Obama than at any time before in the history of our four-year program. So the political cesspool is really beginning to come into its own thanks to great guests that we feature on a nightly basis. And we've got two of them on the line right now. We're actually doing something we've never done before on this program. We're having not one but two great guests simultaneously. And if you allow me the opportunity, I'd like to read a brief introduction of both of our gentlemen right now. Dr. Stephen Snegoski is on the line. He received his Ph.D. in United States History from the University of Maryland. Dr. Snegoski publishes articles dealing with history, foreign policy, and education. He is also the author of a book that is being much talked about right now, The Transparent Cabal, with an introduction written by our second guest, Dr. Paul Gottfried, who is a professor of humanities at Elizabethtown College, a Guggenheim recipient, an adjunct scholar of the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Dr. Gottfried is the author of numerous books and articles in several languages on intellectual history, paleoconservatism, and political theory. As we've mentioned before in his previous appearances, Dr. Paul Gottfried has also been a close friend of many important political and intellectual figures, such as Richard Nixon and our own friend, Pat Buchanan. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on the program tonight. How do you do this evening?
Thank you very much for having me on, and I'm glad to be here with Paul.
I know. Well, you get just cheaper by the dozen, I guess. We were really excited to have both of y'all on at the same time.
You're the only one that's new to this conversation, because usually Steve and I speak to each other in the evenings.
We're going to include them
right, so
in
just
on
bringing
this
in
conversation.
Me and the rest of the audience here through a normal evening chat then. I get it. Well, we'll see what we can get into. What trouble can we stir up tonight? We'll find out. Mm-hmm. The way we're going to do this, I think, is that I know we're going to be focusing on the book, The Transparent Cabal, here for the first part of the interview. And I know, Dr. Gottfried, we're going to have you on for a little bit of extended play later on, ask you a few questions separate from Dr. Snigowski. With that being said, let's jump right into it. Stephen, why did you author the book, The Transparent Cabal?
Well, I wrote this book because I realized that no one was really dealing with the neocons' fundamental role in driving the United States to a war in Iraq, and also America's very militant policy in the Middle East. People weren't doing this. Because it's a taboo topic. In other words, it would be mentioned in articles by people, like you mentioned, Pat Buchanan, but no one was doing a full history on the subject. And I felt that, you know, here was perfect territory for me to write something on.
Well, and written it, you have, and as I said, it's getting much critical acclaim from some of the intellectual figures of the right, one of which being Paul Gottfried. And, of course, Paul, we just made mention of the fact that you wrote the introduction to this book, mm-hmm. which is, in fact, a controversial book, I guess you could say, a book in which I think is somewhat critical of the Jewish role in neoconservatism. Did you get any criticism for that, Paul?
Well, I think I'm probably beyond criticism at this point in my life. I have been so ostracized and treated as such an unmentionable name by the neoconservative press and by its liberal allies that the fact that I wrote the introduction to Steve's book probably, has not attracted very much public attention. This doesn't surprise me at all. For reasons that Steve goes into in the course of his narrative.
Well, of course, I'm no stranger to criticism from our friends, too, so we're all in the pillory together. That being said, I'll ask this question of both of you, and you can just take turns answering it, or whoever wants to dive in. Mm-hmm. But with regards to the neoconservative foreign policy that America now finds itself engaged, is that policy based around Israel solely, as many people have surmised from our latest foreign interventionism?
Well, I would say their Middle East policy, certainly Israel looms large there. Now, their foreign policy positions transcend Israel, but in regard to the Middle East, I believe Israel is central. Now, this doesn't mean that they're necessarily agents of Israel, that they really would promote a policy that would help Israel at the expense of the United States, but I think it's pretty apparent that they view American foreign policy in the Middle East lens of Israeli interest.
Well, yeah, Paul, let me ask this question. Yeah, go ahead. You can go ahead and chime in.
No, I would just sort of elaborate on something that Steve said. My own position on where the neoconservatives are coming from ideologically is not an extreme Zionist position alone. I think Zionism, or a very, very kind of militant right-wing Zionism, is one element of their worldview. But as I've argued many times, even if Israel did not exist, they would still be a bloody nuisance because of all their other obsessions, passions, concerns, which they have been able to impose on the Republican Party and its most recent presidential candidate. Among these concerns is confronting Russia, which they consider to be an irredeemably anti-Semitic nation, being headed by some sort of dangerous authoritarian nationalist who won't play their political game. They have, I think, an irrepressible hatred of Germans, which goes back to the Holocaust. And I think this is important for their whole understanding of Central European history. And most Americans don't know very much about European history, and are not particularly focused on foreign policy. The neoconservatives are very much focused on foreign policy, which I think they see through the lens of a certain kind of Eastern European Jewish folk experience, which they brought with them to the New World, and which they've been able to sort of make an integral part of an ideology of American global imperialism. I think one of the reasons they've been so successful is that Wilsonianism is the foundation of American foreign policy. It is the continuing foundation, as much as political realists like Buchanan and others, George Kennan, might come along and raise objections to this missionary, almost Trotskyist or Jacobin foreign policy that they push. This, I think, is central to the neoconservatives, but also something that resonates extremely well among many Americans. And it also, I think, has been the continuing position of our foreign policy establishment and of the magazines that they run, such as Foreign Affairs and Foreign Policy. And it is, again, the Wilsonian ideology is shared by the Republicans and the Democrats. No matter which party is going to be in power, that is likely to be the ideology that we push. And I think the neoconservatives represent a variation, an important variation on that ideology, or their concerns are entirely compatible with an American missionary foreign policy throughout the world. Although, again, I would agree with Steve, I think Israel is obviously of paramount importance to them, particularly in terms of our current political situation. And I think that Steve shows this very well. And obviously their interest in Israel also drives their warlike spirit in terms of countries in the Middle East, and the provided much of the impetus for American involvement in Iraq.
Well, with that being said, and what a fine and eloquent answer that was, I'm going to toss this back over to you, Dr. Snegowski, and this question might seem almost rhetorical in nature after that which has already been established, but I'm going to ask it anyway, perhaps for no other reason except for further elaboration. But what evidence is there, perhaps, of underhanded tactics being employed from the Israeli government on the neoconservatives? Or, in your opinion, do the neocons act on their own when it comes to foreign policy in the Middle East?
Well, I would say the neocons are basically, you know, they're freelancers. In other words, they're not being directed by the Israeli government, but in many cases they work in tandem with the Israeli government. In some instances, they take a harder line than the Israeli government in power. For example, in 2006, when Israel invaded Lebanon, the neocons really wanted the Israel to push harder and actually expand the war by attacking Syria, which they hoped would bring Iran into the war. And the belief was that then the United States could come into the war against Iran. However, Prime Minister Olmert was too cautious, and the neocons were very critical of Olmert for not pushing hard enough. So in certain respects, the neocons being, let's say, as Paul pointed out, hardline Likudniks, take positions that, the heads of the Israeli state are unwilling to take, not bold enough to take.
But let's just take a break right there, guys. We've got a commercial timeout coming up in just a couple of seconds. I want to remind everyone that they are listening to the Political Cesspool here on Republic Broadcasting Radio Network, going out through our flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, and to our affiliates nationwide. James Edwards here, your host, and our guests, Dr. Stephen Snegowski and Dr. Paul Gottfried. We're talking about the book, The Transparent Cabal and its contents. We're going to continue with that right after this.
Walk down the street, we get funniest love.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
We'll be right back. Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins, lower blood sugar levels, annihilate acid reflux, lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life, turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are clear.
The worldwide economic collapse is here.
The military is being positioned for martial law.
The mark of the beast is at hand.
Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system.
Having a long-term food solution is your only hope
to stay free.
Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds.
For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance.
That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds
for a penny per seed.
15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years.
Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free.
Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
That's SurvivalistSeeds.com.
A long-term food solution.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Continuing on in our stellar first segment with guest Dr. Stephen Stogosky, author of The Transparent Cabal, and a man who needs no introduction to our listening audience, Dr. Paul Gottfried. Gentlemen, we're talking about neoconservatism and its influence in American foreign policy and other tenets that can be found in this book that we're talking about. Pat Buchanan, among many others, have argued that it was the Jewish influence of the neo, or the, I should say not Jewish influence, but the radical Zionist influence of the neoconservative movement that pushed the American government into war with Iraq. Do you think we'd be in Iraq today if it wasn't for these forces, gentlemen?
No, I believe it was the neocons who were the fundamental cause of bringing the U.S. to war. Had George Bush had different advisors, for example, it was quite likely that he could have had his father's cronies as his advisors, people like James Baker and Brent Scowcroft. I don't think the United States would have attacked Iraq. And it was pretty clear because it seemed like many of the members in the old, the traditional American established foreign policy establishment were at best cool to the war, if not opposed to it.
Professor Godfrey, let me ask you this, because we always talk about this as if everyone understands who and what we're talking about. And we got to understand, too, as I made mention of earlier, that a lot of new people are beginning to look to conservative alternatives on talk radio and mm-hmm. other websites for answers in reaction to the devastating election results that we were all subjected to last week. So let's just go back to the root fundamentals here and answer this question. Who are the neoconservatives? Are there a lot of influential Gentiles among them, for instance? And finally, what are some of the big think tanks and organizations and publications of neoconservatism?
Yeah, I think by now it's an intergenerational phenomenon because it's the neoconservatives have been rising in the American conservative movement, what had been the conservative movement before they took it over, since probably the 1970s. And the first generation had this sort of pleiad of neoconservative journalistic stars, I mean, including Norman Podoritz, Midge Decker, Irving Kristol, Kristol's wife, Gertrude Himmelfarb, and then there are a number of others who were managers of magazines and heads of institutes. The flagship publication for a long time was Commentary. Now that has sort of drifted into irrelevance. The main magazine they have is the Weekly Standard, in addition to which, of course, they've taken over just about every conservative magazine. I mean, National Review is nothing but a neoconservative organ. One looks at it to see what are the opinions to be found in Weekly Standard and Commentary, but expressed perhaps in a more simplistic fashion. By now, I think we're probably on to the third generation of them, and even the second generation were often called mini-cons because they lacked the, should we say, the polemical or intellectual vigor of the first generation, though I don't think one should exaggerate the brilliance of the first generation either. I think there are certain social, political, journalistic causes that allowed them to take over when they did, and one should not, as I said, overestimate how intelligent they were. They were very good at networking. They managed to take over major conservative philanthropies in the 1980s, and among their coup was the occupation and transformation of both the Heritage Foundations and AEI. Now, you asked me if one are the prominent Gentiles as well as Jews. My view is that the Gentiles performed the same function as the non-Sicilians in the Mafia. They're allowed to play some role, but they can't really become consiglieri di guerra. If they go to war, they don't use them. But, you know, they're there to provide sort of, you know, atmosphere. So you get somebody like Michael Novak, who else they have, Cal Thomas. The whole
they
bunch.
Serve a role. They
you're forgetting, Bill, you're forgetting Bill Bennett there.
Oh, Bill Bennett is another lightweight. Yeah, he's not physically a lightweight. And he gambles his money, but he's a person of no serious intellectual consequence. He just puts together collections of readings, such as the speeches of Martin Luther King, that are combined with Plato's Phaedo or some Phaedo or something like that. Yeah, but he obviously was one of the original sort of Gentile frontmen, and they used him basically to take over the Department of Education under Reagan. So one could say that the Jews are the ones who pretty much run the show, but then they have Gentiles who
they serve as a mask or a buffer.
Right. So sort of like run the
they
front.
They play their role.
Yeah, they run front organizations.
Well, all right, let's just hold up right there because we're coming up on another hard commercial break. Very riveting discussion we're having here on the program tonight with two esteemed intellectuals, Dr. Snigowski and Dr. Gottfried, respectively. We're going to continue on. Again, all of this conversation revolves around the book, The Transparent Cabal. We're going to give you ordering information about that before this interview concludes. We've got a lot more coming up in the second and third hours as well this evening. Don't go anywhere. Political Cesspool returns right after this.
Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hi there.
The political cesspool listeners are well-informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
Flu and cold season are almost here. I watch as many rush to inject themselves with a magic potion of drugs to prevent sickness, never knowing what's in the needle. Now that's a form of trust I don't have. What's my choice? Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea cleanses the body from chemicals, toxins, parasites, and more. And the ingredients are written on the package. It's all natural, it's safe, and of course, it works. My name is Ronnie McMullen, host of the national talk show program, The Prophetic Watch. I wouldn't put my name and approval on this product if it didn't work. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are waiting. Take charge of your life. GetTheTea.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And now, let's return to the political cesspool.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Another hour going by far too quickly. We're already halfway through the first hour of tonight's broadcast. I want to welcome you back to the program. Don't forget to check out our website, as so many people have been doing this month. We have broken every record imaginable for traffic, people signing up for our email list, people downloading our program. We're starting to catch fire in a big way at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and it's doing no small part to the fact that we have the ability or the good fortune of attracting very, very good guests. And we want you to stay abreast of everything we're doing and they're doing by visiting our website and signing up for that aforementioned mailing list. Two guests we have on right now, Dr. Stephen Nagoski, author of The Transparent Cabal, and Dr. Paul Godfrey. Gentlemen, continuing on with the conversation that we've been talking about for the last half hour, I want to ask two more quick questions and then turn it over to y'all for some thoughts. I think anybody who has a basic understanding of the Republican Party understands and knows and realizes that the neoconservative Trotskyite movement is what's steering the tank, so to speak. But how influential, in your opinion, have the neoconservatives been with Democrats in power as opposed to Republicans? For example, were the neoconservatives just as powerful with Clinton as they've been with both Bushes and Ronald Reagan?
I would say they're not as powerful, but they've basically shifted mainstream opinion
in their direction. And I think Paul Gottfried brings this out, but also supporters of the neocons emphasize their impact on American thinking. For example, Murray Friedman's book, The Neoconservative Revolution, Jewish Intellectuals and the Shaping of Public Policy. He points out how their influence. They've moved everything in their direction. So I think when we talk about, let's say, a Barack Obama now, when he brings people in like Rahm Emanuel, he's going to put Dennis Ross, apparently, to direct Middle East policy. And it's basically maybe what I'd call a neocon light. It's not the 200-proof neoconservatism that one would have gotten from John McCain with Randy Shorneman and a whole host of neocons returning to power. But in the many respects, it's similar to neoconservatism, and the neocons played a role in shifting the mainstream in their direction.
Yeah, I would agree entirely with Steve. I also think that there is a neoconservative strategy which goes back to the McGovern-Nixon race in 1972. One, as a matter of fact, that Daniel Bell revealed to me in a letter in the 1980s when he mistakenly thought I was a neoconservative, explaining how they divide their forces. He says, you know, in 72, Irving, meaning Irving Kristol, supported Nixon, but, you know, I was told to support McGovern. So, and you also will notice that this year there was a beeline of neoconservatives into the Obama camp, or people who were vacillating between the two camps.
But didn't they start moving more in that direction when it appeared that he was going to win? Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, obviously he is not. He was not as desirable a candidate as McCain for reasons that Steve indicated, because McCain was 200 proof. His entire foreign policy staff would be neoconservative. But the Obama is not going to leave them out in the cold. In terms of their domestic politics, they do switch. I mean, now you have David Frum, and there's another fellow named Ross Dutath. There's a number of these people writing books explaining how we have to move to the left. David Brooks, of course, has been doing this for a long time. We have to move to the left on all these social issues. And we have to have a more positive view of taxation and government. Fox News has been in a celebratory mood about Obama's victory over racism, yeah, and bigotry.
I'm going to talk about that in the second hour, not
right.
Preempt you, Dr. Gottfried,
right.
But stay tuned for the second hour, folks, if you want to see someone unload on the so-called Fox News Network, the so-called conservative Fox News Network. Stay tuned for that. But, Paul, continue on, because you're on to something here.
Oh, okay, but the they were in this celebratory mood about Obama. At the same time, they were urging him to deal with the danger represented by Putin's Russia and not to forget about Iran and so forth. So, I mean, as long as their foreign policy concerns or fixations are being dealt with, they're quite willing to compromise on all domestic issues. They really don't care about those very much.
Well, they do.
Well, no, they don't.
And
they don't at all. And I'm going to get into that. I've got several examples.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people need to be convinced that Fox News isn't really conservative, or at least conservative in the paleo-conservative sense of the word. But we're going to be talking about that during the second hour, so stay tuned. But to me, it seems, gentlemen, that, and I wrote about this on my blog, the new boss is the same as the old boss. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You look at the first two people that Obama has appointed to prominent positions, and you've got two radical Zionists. You've got David Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel, a man
right.
who you could almost argue is terroristic in nature.
Right.
So
right.
Let me ask you this, and I'm going to turn it over to y'all for some free-flowing ideas. Is a neoconservative Likudnik influence in American political life beginning to decline now that the Republicans are leaving? Or has it just begun with two instances that you've already mentioned as examples, the threats to Iran and the appointment of people such as Rahm Emanuel? Is this neoconservative philosophy only going to continue to grow in power and influence, or is it going to be on the decline now?
I think it's going to grow. Well, I don't think it'll be in any decline, because they control the Republican Party lock, stock, and barrel. Insofar as the insofar as the Republican Party is not simply a social gathering of white Anglo-Saxon Protestants at a country club, insofar as it's any kind of intellectual content, it is provided by neoconservatives, neoconservative journalists, neoconservative magazines, neoconservative network, and so forth. So the neoconservatives are their only idea people of any consequence right now. At the same time, I think as Steve pointed out, they're like free to, you know, sort of move their ideas in a more leftist direction, and also to seek admission into the Obama government. If that fails, they can simply fall back, you know, on their usual sources of power, the Republican Party, their own foundations, and the conservative movement, which they also own lock, stock, and barrel, or at least that part of the conservative movement that is visible to us, you know, the part that is that is included in the public conversation. We're not, but the establishment conservatives are all neoconservatives. So even if they don't manage to gain more influence or more access to the Obama administration, they will still be powerful in all their established citadels of power. They're not going to be thrust out of the Republican Party. They're not going to be kicked out of the conservative. They're to continue to run these things until some well-financed competitor that has access to the media can come along and challenge them. And right now, I do not see such a competitor.
Well, I'll tell you, if the Republicans ever want to compete again, they better think about starting to cut out the cancer that's plaguing them, but they're not going to do that.
No.
And secondly, you know, again, with Obama's first two appointments, it seems pretty apparent that he's not going to rock the boat too much with regards to, you know, displacing the boss man.
No, I think we're going to have
I'm going to do my listeners a favor and quit asking so many questions and defer to minds brighter than my own here. Guys, what have I failed to ask that you really feel important to bring up? And first of which, you know, I want to ask you, Stephen, why you decided to title the book The Transparent Cabal. But above and beyond that, just take it away, guys, and let the audience know what you have
to say. I'd just like to add to what you were saying about the Obama administration. Well,
right.
I think, you know, this is going to be more like a neocon light, not as a hard line as McCain would have been. However, the problem is that since Obama has this image of being a man of peace, he would have greater credibility in pursuing a hardline war policy than either George Bush or McCain. And of course, if the economy, you know, does not improve with all of our bailouts, which I don't think it will, the Democrats, probably his political advisors probably would tell him to move in a war direction.
But he'll be able to get away with it because he is the alleged man of peace.
Yes, right. Yes.
And it's easier for him to sell the war. I get it. No, that's an interesting theory.
But also, you know, in a bad economy, one can a leader can divert public attention by pursuing a war course in international affairs.
That makes perfect sense to me. That's very plausible. So interesting theory there, and duly noted. All right. That being said, guys, I know I've failed to ask a few questions that would have been of importance,
right,
could I have thought of them. So what would you like to say to the audience now? And I know we got
dealing with the transparent cabal, you mentioned that just a moment ago.
Yeah, the reason
why I put the cabal in there, that's been a term that's been applied to the neocons. The neocons themselves sort of jokingly refer to themselves as the cabal, implying that, you know, they couldn't possibly be a cabal because a cabal is a secret group. Whereas when I use the term transparent, that's the operative word, that they did everything quite openly, that we knew what their agenda was. Their war agenda had been announced, you know, back in the, you know, early 1990s, that they were pushing for war in the Middle East. Nothing hidden there. We knew exactly what they would do. So it's a transparent, they're a cabal in the sense, as Paul pointed out before, how they're a strong network working for a goal, but much of what they do, perhaps not everything they do, is done quite openly.
Well, guys, I know we've had a lot of people trying to get on and ask a couple of questions. We have about 5 minutes for the next break. I want to take the time to invite folks to call back in. I know a lot of people have been calling in with questions for you, Dr. Snegoski. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in, we'll try to work in one or two calls before we go to break here in a moment. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. And I want to thank our producers at RBN for alerting me to the fact that people have been trying to call in. I wasn't even paying attention to that. So engrossed in the conversation myself. 1-800-313-9443. We're going to take a man with a good name, James from California. James, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. It's very kind. I just saw that you were at the David Duke conference recently in Memphis, too, and I thought Mr. Dr. Duke was going to be on the program. First of all, Dr. Snegoski is a good friend of mine. I just saw him on Hesham Talawi's Current Issues program over at currentissues.tv last night and had a call in for him that's just been added to neoconzionistthreat.com. And I just wanted to say that I agree with much of what Dr. Snegoski has conveyed here, along with your other guest, Dr. Godfrey. And I wanted to also convey, though, that we're not out of the woods with this with the current President Bush regime. I mean, he's got till January 20th, and you've got warmongering going on by the Israelis. I know that we've got an election coming up in February, but, you know, we've got the clean break agenda that still Israel could pursue through Lebanon to draw in Iran and Syria. We saw the recent attack by the U.S. On Syria, and that was obviously intended, I think, to draw a retaliatory response from Syria to basically suck us into the rest of the clean break war for Israel agenda. And if you want more about that, you can go over to, again, neoconzionistthreat.com. And on the right there, you'll see a link, and it's titled A Clean Break. And that's the clean break agenda that the esteemed intelligence writer James Bamford discusses in his A Pretext for War book. And I do agree.
Hey, thanks very much for the call and the comment. Pretty interesting thought there. Let me ask you that, doctors. Is there any damage Bush could do before Obama takes office that we're failing to think of right now? Because I, along with everyone else, I'm focusing on the carnage Obama's going to bring. And is there any threat Bush still poses?
Cut me off.
Well, he could. You know, I'm not a, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. But my thinking is probably nothing will happen until Obama comes in. That, you know, Bush is sort of a real...
Lame duck
in the extreme, since he has about 25% popular support.
Mm-hmm.
So I even think, you know, from the Israeli position, you know, this would not be an opportune time to have the United States go to war. That most people, you know, I think there would be a lot of public opposition that they would see, you know, boy, this Bush, he's, you know, he's just trying to attract attention. Let's just get rid of him. He should just die off and let us alone.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I don't get to it. It wouldn't be doing the neoconservatives any favor at this point to get overzealous. They probably got player in Obama as it is, so there's no reason for them. I think Bush has about been used up as far as they're concerned, but still an interesting thought infused there by the caller from California.
Yeah, I can't say with any, absolute certitude. In other words, maybe it's conceivable Israel would say the danger from Iran is so great that something has to be done immediately. But my feeling is regarding Israel's view of Iran that they really perceive the Iranian support for the Palestinians to be equal, if not of a greater significance, than any possible nuclear threat. That I think with Israel's huge nuclear arsenal, a couple nuclear weapons on that Iran might be able to get in a few years really couldn't pose much of any threat to Israel.
Well, Dr. Snegoski, let me ask this of you before we run into our next break. How can folks, we've been focusing on the last hour about a couple of issues, but they're all related to your book, The Transparent Cabal. I want to be sure to ask you how people can order that book.
Well, certainly you can get it through the best, you know, the easiest way of getting it is by ordering it from Amazon. So if you know, you don't have to be able to remember my name, that was Snegoski. It's probably difficult for anyone to spell except for me, but if you remember Transparent Cabal, you should be able to find it.
Just remember Transparent Cabal, everybody. That's a provocative title and one certainly applicable to the issue at hand here. The author is Dr. Stephen Snegowski, the foreword by Dr. Paul Godfrey. They collaborated on this, and they've been with us this evening for the, basically for the first hour of the program. And Dr. Snegowski, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight. Dr. Godfrey, I understand you're going to stay with us for just another minute or two.
Okay.
And so I'd like to ask you to hold the line, and
I shall.
Dr. Snegowski, we're going to wish you a fond farewell and a good evening, and we're going to do everything we can to promote your book, and hopefully we're going to send this sucker right up to the number one on the New York Times bestseller list, right?
It is an extremely learned book, and I think he really has the goods.
Hey, this is Slip Tie Guys or Warner Break. We'll be right back. Don't mean to cut
you
off.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Katahdin Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Here we are in the Political Cesspool, neck deep in it, in fact, this Saturday evening, November 15th. You just heard from Dr. Stephen Snegowski, author of The Transparent Cabal. Be sure to check out the book focusing on the neoconservative subversion of American life and politics. We're continuing on for just a couple of more moments with Dr. Paul Godfrey, who is still holding the line. And Dr. Godfrey, I just wanted to ask a couple of quick general questions of you pertaining to the Republican Party. Are the GOP, we talked about the leadership of the Republican Party. We've talked about the forces behind that leadership, the neoconservatives. But are the GOP partisans, the GOP voters, are they really as dumb as they seem?
My impression is they may be incorrigibly dumb. The fact that the neoconservatives have been able to control them as thoroughly as they have, that they've been able to sell them on their foreign policy and just about everything else, and that they've also that they've stuck with the horrible leadership that they've had for so many years, suggests some kind of cognitive difficulty with the with Republican voters. The other possibility that I'm always sort of bringing up is that the Republican Party is sort of a white bread American party. It consists of people who are sort of normal Americans. You remember there was the statement Jesse Helms used to make: there are two parties, the Democrats, and then there's the American Party. And I think he had a point. To be a Republican is to be sort of like a normal American, but also not a very bright American. And you vote Republican just the way, you know, you order white bread or go to sort of a nondescript church or something like that. And it's sort of a rite of association or a rite of passage. I don't think Republicans think very much about political questions, and they also don't like to fight over them, so that if somebody like McCain is winning by 1 or 2 percentage points over somebody else in these mock primaries, then all the Republicans start voting for him because they don't want to quarrel. They all want to get along, and they want to elect their friends to office. And
well, and I think you're exactly right, because that seems to be the philosophy there, because John McCain was about as – he was so bad, in fact, that I had to question whether or not they were even trying to win.
That was my impression,
yes. I don't know where it's going, because I'll ask you this. We only have 30 seconds left. A yes or no answer will have to suffice for now,
yeah.
And hopefully we can get you back on for a more complete discussion of issues. But in terms of promoting miscegenation, multiculturalism, moral relativism, and sexual egalitarianism, how complete has the 1960s social revolution been in academia? And is there any sign of a turnaround, a backlash at even the smallest places such as Elizabethtown College?
No.
I think
it's a total victory that the cultural left has won in American academic life. I have no idea how it can be reversed. If it's reversed, it will be reversed politically, because there will be a general backlash in society, which will cause...
Sit tight, Dr. Godfrey. Just sit tight. We're gonna take a break. We're going to
okay.
Let you finish that up right after this.
Don't go away. Hour number 2 of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Future would be.